Just because you watch Grey's Anatomy doesn't mean you can do an operation.
Keep tugging at our heels. Watch us high step and be a highlight reel of how high we get. The ghost riders walk the ramp. How we live defies death. Put a conscience in the genre box. Stamp a certified fresh. Bad boys beyond.
Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by DraftKings.com, the leader in daily fantasy sports. Use promo code Kyle when making your first deposit on DraftKings to receive a free contest entry today. I'm Kyle McEwen. You can find me on Twitter at RotoWireKyleNBA, and I'm joined today by Shannon McEwen, who you can find on Twitter at RotoShannon. If you listen to us on iTunes and can please rate and review the podcast, that would be very much appreciated. For anyone who rates and reviews us, Shannon will perform your next surgical procedure for you free of charge. So please, if you have a moment, rate and review the podcast on iTunes. If you can subscribe to it as well, that would be swell too. All right. In this episode, we're going to go over the players that matter. Mostly, we're just going to talk about the Rondo trade. And then we're going to get into all the injuries, and then we'll do our DraftKings however long it lasts. Shannon, do you watch Grey's Anatomy?
I have seen most episodes. It's one of my wife's favorite shows. She's actually rewatching the entire show from, she just started season one again a couple nights ago, and I think this is like the third time she's going to be watching it all the way through since we moved in together, which, so in the past 3 years.
I don't think that McDreamy's so dreamy. Do you think he's handsome?
You know, Derek is a handsome guy.
Dr. Derek McDreamy. Okay. Anyways, I've never really watched the show, just in passing.
McSteamy is way better looking, and I don't care. We can spoil. When they killed McSteamy, I totally stopped watching the show.
Whoa, you probably just did big spoiler for somebody who was just like waiting to watch Grey's Anatomy.
I know.
All nine seasons. Is McSteamy the guy who looks like an American Jason Statham with a little bit more stubble?
No, McSteamy.
He's got short hair, but it's like grayish.
He's got gray hair, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a handsome dude.
He's not handsome. He's sexy. Yeah. All right, let's get into this. The Rajon Rondo trade. Rondo was traded to the Dallas Mavericks along with Dwight Powell in exchange for a 2015 first-round pick, a future second-round pick, and what else went to the Celtics? Brandon Wright.
Jameer Nelson.
Jameer Nelson and New England Clam Crowder.
Yes.
Came up with that last night. It was a pretty good one, huh?
Good. You had it in your pocket.
I did. All right. So what does this mean, though? What does this mean for Rondo's value in fantasy? When I look at this, my reaction is there's too many guys on that team who need the ball in their hand to be effective, much more so than what's on the Celtics, and it's not his team. So I see him maybe scoring more but getting less assists.
Well, I would argue that like Paul Pierce is a type of player, especially in his prime, that needed the ball in his hands to be effective.
Okay.
So he played with Pierce, Garnett, Ray Allen. I mean, I do think Rondo, his fantasy value is going to take a hit because of the trade.
Mm-hmm.
But like anyone who's like, oh, he's not going to lead the league in assists now. I don't know if that's necessarily true. Because, I mean, he's got better scores now than he did on Celtics.
I know. I'm trying to understand it, though, because Monte needs the ball to be able to attack the rack. He like leads the league in going into the paint, and then Chandler Parsons needs the ball in his hands a little bit. It's not that Dirk really facilitates or anything, but Dirk gets the ball, and then it's just like everybody gets
the play.
Out of the way.
Yeah, give it to Dirk, get out of the way. I think Parsons is more of a guy who will be in the corner and just dish it off to him, and he shoots three. That's kind of Parsons' MO anyways.
They share the ball. Maybe just the fact that
they do share the ball really well. They have one of the best offenses in the league. Scoring efficiencies through the charts. Like, I guess it was like on pace to crush records.
That makes me excited, because if you've got a guy who has the skill to do some of the deft passing that Rondo does, him playing with a bunch of other good passers, it could create some really fun plays to watch going forward.
Yeah, I think his fantasy value takes a minor ding, and like more short term, just like chemistry, learning how to play with the guys than anything else. Once he has 20, 30 games under his belt with those guys, I think he's gonna look the same player that he was in Boston.
I think his shooting efficiency could become better.
Yeah,
so you'd hope so. As far as for the Celtics, though, what do we see happening there? I think Marcus Smart is a must-add in all head-to-head leagues. I'm a little bit leery to add him in some of my rotisserie leagues just because of his potential poor shooting from the field. Do you?
Well, sadly, Marcus Smart was like, he was owned in every league I'm in.
Yeah, me too, for the most part. But I've never seen 16,000 or something teams added him last night on Yahoo. And I don't think I've ever seen a number that high. Sometimes when you have somebody break out, you'll see like, you know, 4,000 or 6,000 people add a player. But 16,000 people went out and added Marcus Smart in their leagues last night. So they heard the news and they made the right call. What about guys like Brandon Wright who came over in the trade? Do you see him maybe pushing Zeller or Olynyk or maybe even Sullinger? Sullinger's been struggling lately. Maybe he'll get some of Sullinger's minutes. Do you see Brandon Wright being fantasy relevant in standard leagues?
Not really, because I think Olynyk, Sullinger, Zeller, those guys are going to get, I still think they're going to get their minutes. So like Brandon Bass, maybe it'll push him out of the rotation. There's no reason to give him minutes at this point anyways for Boston. Yeah. They should just trade him. If they move Jeff Green, Brandon Bass should be part of the package, if they can move him.
One of the key things about this trade is why they made a point to get it done by yesterday is because now that gives them 2 months where they get past the required time a player, once they're traded, has to be on the team before you can trade them again.
Yeah.
So that's what Jameer Nelson, he's not going to play. He'll end up getting traded again probably. Same for Brandon Wright. I think this was really just them getting a pick and then trying to maybe flip those guys to other teams to get more picks.
That would make sense. That would make sense. But, I mean, none of the guys who are going to Boston, I don't expect any of them to really have a fantasy impact. Brandon Wright, at best, I think he'll be what he was in Dallas.
Maybe they like Jay Crowder. Maybe. And because
that scenario only works out is if like Jeff Green gets traded.
Right. And there's been a lot of rumors about Jeff Green being traded too. So and that's something where I look at Evan Turner and I start to think, okay, Marcus Smart has an Achilles injury. That's lingering right now. Maybe Evan Turner's a decent pickup in your 12 team leagues at least. Because on Friday night, I expect Evan Turner to get big minutes. And then if Jeff Green gets traded, there's another position that Evan Turner could end up getting minutes at.
Yeah, I think Turner is absolutely a good pickup at this point. I think he's going to be great. Because we don't even know what's going on with Marcus Smart right now. Right. Marcus Smart's played 10 games.
Yep.
He's only shooting 33% from the floor. But I think that's also small sample size. Yeah. The role that he was playing, everything else. Like, he will get the chance to be the point guard, but we might not see it until the final 40 games of the season. Like, I don't think it's going to be an immediate thing for Marcus Smart. It could be, but he also needs to get healthy. And yeah. He practiced yesterday, so maybe he is healthy enough to play on Friday. I don't know. I hope so.
I think if Smart was healthy, he would be starting right away. But Evan Turner might have the best short-term value out of this trade. Kevin Durant sprained his ankle in Thursday's game, played the first 19 minutes, scored 30 points in those 19 minutes, sat out the rest of the game. Durant said he wanted to return. He had to be convinced not to return. And he said he wants to play Friday. However, they play the Lakers on Friday. Wouldn't they be stupid to play him?
I don't think he's going to play.
I don't think so either.
There's just no reason to play him. That Durant thing upset me so much. You know, Kyle and I had a basketball game last night, and we dominated, of course. And then we go out for beers after the game, the bar that sponsors our team. And I take out my phone, I check out my DraftKings lineup, and I see I got Jimmy Butler, and he exploded for like 63 points. So I'm like, Jimmy Butler! That's all I had to say. I just did that, and Kyle knew exactly what I was talking about. So Butler dominated, and then I had a bunch of late guys. I had some later guys like Durant and Ibaka in my lineup. And some flyers like Dudley. You know, he was one of my cheap options.
It was looking good for you.
It was looking good. Like, Dudley, at that point, Butler had already dominated, but like Dudley hadn't done much yet.
And he ended up finishing with 19 points.
Yeah, he did well. Yeah, he had about...
played 33 minutes off the bench.
Yeah, he was really good.
He had
good.
A really good game for Jared Dudley.
29 DraftKings points. So it was looking good. Once we got home from the bar, I refreshed my phone. I look at it, and Kevin Durant's got 39 DraftKings points at halftime. And, like, I'm about to have one of my highest scoring lineups of the season. I'm like, hey, if Durant just goes out there and has, like, another 25, 30 fantasy points in the second half, I'm going to have one of my highest scoring lineups of the season, and I'm going to finish it with pretty nice cash. And then I wait an hour to check it because I'm busy doing other stuff. And I see he still got 39 fantasy points. What in the hell happened? And of course, it's because he got injured.
Yeah. Well, I saw the injury note first on RotoWire, and then I went to go look at the box score later to do some write-ups, and I saw the 30 points, and I thought, oh, he must have gotten back in the game. No, he did that in 19 minutes. Insane. Now, if Durant were to sit out on Friday, who do you think steps into the starting lineup for them at small forward now? Is it Perry Jones, or is it Jeremy Lamb? What do they do?
It wouldn't surprise me if it's Perry Jones, but I actually like Lamb the most from a fantasy perspective for the one night. If you look at the lineups that the Lakers are going to be running out there, they'll have who's ever at point guard, Lynn or Price, Kobe and Swaggy
Wesley
P.
Johnson. Yeah.
Yeah. These are all guys that like Lamb can match up with.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he actually matches up better with him than like Perry Jones does. I see him getting a lot of minutes.
They always seem to defer to like, who's the best defensive player? Let's put that guy in the lineup. And Perry Jones is a better defensive player than Lamb.
Jones might get the start,
yeah.
But I do believe that Lamb's, if Durant sits,
are you?
I like Lamb.
Are you
better.
Confident enough to use Lamb in daily though?
If Durant gets ruled out, which the decision might not, you might not know in time. They're playing in LA.
Oh yeah.
So I mean, it's a 10:30 p.m. Eastern tip. So you might not even know, but it's toss up. I mean, both Jones and Lamb are minimum price players. So if you prefer one over the other, it is worth tossing them out there in a tournament in a
right,
you know,
not
guaranteed
in a 50-50
prize pool.
Though. No. DeMarcus Cousins returned to the lineup after a 10-game absence Thursday, played 33 minutes after they said he was going to be on a minutes limit, scored 27 points and added 11 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal. He's fine.
Yeah.
Viral men in nothingness. Derrick Rose did not travel with the team to Memphis for Friday's game against the Grizzlies. This will be the second straight game he misses, if he misses it. Apparently, he might travel to Memphis during the day of Friday to meet up with the team. He missed Wednesday's game with an illness as well.
It kind of makes sense. If he's sick, they don't want him traveling on a plane right. with the team, get anybody else sick. But maybe he's feeling better later in the day and he flies there.
If Derrick Rose sits out against Memphis on Friday, are you thinking about using Kirk Heinrich and or Aaron Brooks in any of your lineups?
Yeah, I think Brooks is definitely an option.
Yep.
Heinrich doesn't have the same kind of ceiling as Brooks does. He probably has a little bit of a higher floor because Brooks will come off the bench and maybe he plays 5 minutes and he goes 0-for-4 with the turnover and then he doesn't get off the bench for the rest of the game. But at the same time, we saw it on Thursday night. Brooks came in and he played well.
Yep.
So and he offers more upside than Heinrich does, but it's not even necessarily Brooks or Heinrich that I'm looking at. I'm looking at like Jimmy Butler. First of all, the Bulls play Memphis, so they don't have a great matchup. Memphis for the most part is pretty good against most positions. Power forward is actually the one position that you'd want to target against Memphis. They've been really weak against them.
If Tony Allen sits out, though, does that open up a little bit for you defensively?
Yeah, it does.
Because Tony Allen sat out the last game with a scratched eye, and he may sit out again Friday.
Jimmy Butler, to me, even if Tony Allen plays, if Derrick Rose is sitting, Jimmy Butler's a must-play. He's under. Yeah. He's 6,800.
Again? Still?
Yes. So he's 6,800. You know, he just had a 63-point game on DraftKings. Is he going to do that again? No, but I mean, he proved earlier this year when Derrick Rose was sitting, like he was pretty much averaging like 40 fantasy points a game. So at 6,800, you can't pass that up.
Yeah, and Aaron Brooks is only 3,300. If you're looking for somebody to plug into one of your guard spots, he's a decent pick at that.
No, he's a very good, cheap option. If Derrick Rose sits.
Lance Stevenson's going to miss Friday's game and most likely Saturday's game with a pelvic injury. Does this make you at all consider maybe picking up anybody from Charlotte? We'll probably see Gerald Henderson start at shooting guard. MKG, maybe get a few more minutes at small forward. Do you look at anybody? Do you maybe consider spending money on Kemba or Al Jefferson? Jefferson had a pretty good last game.
It's actually, it might be Gary Neal. You know, he's only $3,700. He's had some big games already. I mean, he's had back-to-back games over 20 points, 20 fantasy points. He scored 25 points and 34 fantasy points against Memphis just a week ago.
And they are playing Philly.
And they are playing Philly, who's really bad against shooting guards. You know, it might be Gary Neal. He's always feast or famine. He'll go 1 for 9 from the floor, or he'll go 10 for 15. So you never really know. I mean, until he chucks up his first couple shots, you won't know what kind of Gary Neal you're getting that night. But he has that 35-point fantasy point upside at a very low cost. And even if he doesn't start, he's been getting regular minutes off the bench when Stevenson was healthy.
Al Jefferson's at 8,900. I do like him against Philadelphia. But then again, Nerlens Noel, well, we'll say this. Nerlens Noel is a really good rim protector, but this is going to be fun to watch. Nerlens Noel trying to play defense on Al Jefferson, who has such an unconventional way of scoring. I think that'll be a lot of fun to watch on Friday. Moving on.
Nerlens going to get into foul trouble is what's going
to
happen.
Yeah, probably. David Lee is expected to return next week, assuming that he doesn't suffer any setbacks in practice. We'll see about that. Giannis returned to the lineup Thursday. He missed the second half of Wednesday's game. And I don't know if you saw this. Did you see him steal second base last night in the game? Do you know what I'm referring to?
No.
You know how teams roll the ball up the court to try and save time on the clock before they touch it and the clock starts running?
Yeah, yeah.
Giannis came streaking down the court, dove head first onto the court, stole the ball from Rudy Gay's feet, and then passed it out to Brandon Knight for a three-point attempt. It was awesome.
That's sweet.
he has so many ideas about trying to do stuff that like nobody else tries. It's amazing. Jason Terry will return to the Rockets lineup Saturday, and he's been out for the last two games after his wife gave birth to their child. Jason Terry was having a good run there while they had a couple of their guards out, Patrick Beverly and that's a phone, and Isaiah Cannon. But now that both those guys are back, we're not really considering Jason Terry in daily games at all, are we?
No, not now that they're healthy. And there are even a couple games after Beverly came back and Terry just wasn't that good. I mean, it was different when he was the only healthy point guard for that team.
Beverly had a couple nice games there too once he finally got back in the starting lineup and returned from his injury. Are you still using Beverly at all in daily games, or has the return of Dwight Howard kind of nullified any extra value he had on offense?
I had Beverly in my Thursday night lineup and on DraftKings. I like him. He was only 5,500. He had 42 points the previous game. He had like 39 plus points a couple games before that. I mean, he's been a pretty good bet for 30 fantasy points this season. He's averaging 28.6. And at 5,500, I mean, that's really good. His stats never looked great, but even last night, he had 9 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 block, 3 steals, 1 3-pointer. He ended up having over 26 fantasy points, and it was a bad night. He was 2 for 8 from the floor, but he got the minutes, and he gets those other stats. He gets steals. I mean, it's the steals, it's 3-pointers, and then when you have a night where he just accidentally gets 12 rebounds or something, then all right, great. His shot's falling, he gets a bunch of rebounds, then he's going to go off and score 40 points.
And not to mislead anybody, they don't play again until Saturday, but just wanted to talk about him there. Nicholas Batum did not practice Thursday and is questionable for Friday's game as he deals with a wrist and knee injury. If Nick Batum sat out, who the heck would get minutes? Darrell Wright, maybe? Maybe they give C.J. McCollum some extended minutes by pushing Wesley Matthews up to small forward. Is there anybody you would want to use if Nick Batum was out?
Oh, man. It's tough because we've seen Wright. I mean, Wright last year had a couple of good games when he stepped in. I think he stepped in the starting lineup for one game this year and didn't really do much. And even with Trailblazers, I mean, we saw what happened on Wednesday. So Robin Lopez is out. You got Freeland. You got Myers Leonard.
Thomas Robinson. And Robinson had the 15-point, 16-rebound night.
Yeah, and really, I think earlier in the day on Wednesday, Stotts said Freeland, or well, Stotts didn't say it, but Freeland was listed as the starter.
In the game notes, yeah.
Yeah, in the game notes, Freeland was listed as starter. We actually, our speculative play was Myers-Leonard, because earlier in the year, he went off when LaMarcus sat for one game. And Leonard is supposed to be a center, so it kind of would make sense. Yeah. He's, and I also consider him the better prospect.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we backed Leonard, which was wrong. Freeland ended up being wrong as well. It was Thomas Robinson. And it was only announced a couple hours before tip-off.
That was his first career start. There was no reason for us to expect Thomas Robinson to get in there. The only reason they started him was because they were matching up with the Bucks' very small lineup that featured Giannis at power forward.
See, that's I kind of thought it might be a, it might be a matchup-based decision. But at the same time, after his performance... Like, isn't he going to get the start tonight?
It was Stotts came out after the game and said there's no guarantee he stays in the lineup for the next game because it was matchup based. And they're playing the Spurs. Now, Spurs usually start Bonner and Duncan when everybody's in the lineup together. So
if they start a guy like Diaw, it might make more sense to have Robinson in there. I guess we'll have to wait and see. I like Robinson for tonight. He's only $3,000 still. So I'm willing to take that chance because he does
tournament play though, right? Not, or would you even consider using him in a 50-50?
I would consider it in a 50-50, okay. Especially if he's named the starter. I mean, that's the thing. If we know if he gets named the starter at 5 p.m. Eastern, then there's no suspense to it. I'm plugging him in there, but and who knows? He played well on Wednesday. He had 15 points and 16 rebounds. He also went 5 for 15 from the free throw line.
That's what I wanted to say. I was looking through that line, and of course, first thing that stands out is what 16 rebounds, what 15 points, and then what the hell?
Yeah.
5 for 15 from the free throw line.
But so, it's just weird because he's been basically a coach's decision DNP.
Yeah.
For most of the season.
And to give him credit, he did when the reporters went to talk to him after the game, went to talk to Thomas Robinson, the first thing he said was how disappointed he was with his free throws. So that shows up well. All right, moving on. Taj Gibson did not play Thursday against the Knicks. We saw Joakim Noah return to the lineup. Nikola Mirotic had a decent game off the bench. We don't really know if Taj Gibson's going to play Friday yet. So do we just keep an eye on this? If Taj Gibson sits out, who do we use? If Taj Gibson returned, do we consider using him?
Is Noah sitting? Noah's playing, right?
I would assume Noah played
Thursday. Gasol. I'm not going to be... If Gibson is playing as well, if the Bulls' entire front court's playing, no, I'm not going to be high on anyone other than Gasol or Noah.
Okay.
It's Memphis, first of all. Like I said, they are weak against power forwards.
So does that make you like potentially going out and getting Gasol?
I do like Gasol. I've got him in my lineup right now. I might end up switching that. But Memphis is like dead last against power forwards, according to DraftKings rankings.
Yeah, 30th. That's crazy.
So it's Taj Gibson, $6,500 now. When Gasol and Noah are healthy, he's not as good of a play if he's $6,500.
Yeah.
And Gasol's like... $8,700. Gasol's still undervalued. It's been going on all season. He is one of the few guys... So he's scoring 41.7 fantasy points per game. So for tonight's player pool, that is the fifth highest scoring average amongst everyone who's available in the player pool, but he's only 8,700. LaMarcus Aldridge is averaging 0.4 points more per game, less than half a point more per game, and he costs $2,100 more than Gasol, and Gasol has the much better matchup.
Wow. That's awesome. Just to notice, well, if you look through all the players, Alex Rickling sent me some of his notes for his daily game stuff that he does. He writes our daily games cheat sheet a couple days a week. And he kind of pointed out that if you look at this right now, all the players who are having better seasons than what they had last season, the Jimmy Butlers and the Pau Gasols, guys who have kind of improved this
year. Draymond Green.
Yeah.
Draymond Green's still a decent price, even though
their salaries have not kind of like, they haven't hit the, they haven't leveled out or like equalized for this season what the production is for the players this season. And guys who were better last season or who are having poor seasons, like Kevin Love, their value is still up.
That's true.
So definitely something to take into account, that whatever formula DraftKings uses, it takes into account either the career averages of the players or the way they performed last season still to this point is still somehow factored into that.
Which I think it makes sense.
Yeah,
it does. It does make sense. But I mean, there is something like it's good. There should be instances like this where you're able to take advantage of the salary cap, or you're able to identify those values. Like you're able to see Paul Gasol is still under $9,000. That is insane. Like, but that's the beauty of the salary cap, is finding those kind of values, finding guys like that. I mean, you can even look at the most expensive players. The most expensive player for Friday is Russell Westbrook. I love Russell Westbrook on Friday. I will have him in a lineup. He's playing against the Lakers. Durant might be sitting. Russell Westbrook has four straight games over 50 points.
Isn't he
from
Los Angeles, too?
He is, which I know that doesn't mean anything, but it does.
Kostas Papanikolaou was able to play Thursday against the Pelicans. He returned finally from his knee injury. Joakim Noah, as we said, he returned. Carmelo Anthony sat out Thursday's game against the Bulls with a sore left ankle. So now he's dealing with an ankle injury and a knee injury. And I think I saw something somewhere about him possibly considering sitting out for a couple weeks to rest his knee.
That team's so bad. It's going to get to the point where it's just like, all right, tank mode. It's amazing. It's not even Christmas yet. And like you can say that already about that team.
They started Cole Aldrich and Travis Ware in Thursday's game. I saw people going out and picking up Cole Aldrich because he had like 13 and 10. But, they're not going to continue to start him, right? Would you go out and pick up Cole Aldrich in any leagues? They've started a different lineup like dang near every night.
Yeah, and I mean, right now it's because they were out Shumpert, J.R. Smith, Carmelo Anthony. Amari was originally going to sit on Thursday, just get a night of rest. But because they're out everyone else, they decided they had to have him suit up.
They must hate Samuel Dalembert if they're putting Cole Aldrich in the lineup.
He's horrible.
Yeah, he is. Wait, which one? Both?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Sergei Karasev. I think that's how you say it. Was considered questionable to play Friday against the Cavaliers. He's been getting starts for the Brooklyn Nets, so that's kind of interesting. But realistically, he's just not in the conversation right now.
So it's not really that interesting.
Sorry. It's interesting that he ended up getting moved into the starting lineup like a week ago, a week and a half ago.
You don't even know how to say his name.
It's because it looks like Karasev, but I'm pretty sure when I listen to the games on League Pass, it's always Karasev. But that's just hard to say. Mo Williams is considered questionable for Friday's game. He missed six games with back spasms, returned to action Tuesday against Washington, but I think he only played about 14 minutes in that game off the bench. And the fact that Flip Saunders said about a week and a half ago that they are in rebuild mode now, I don't see Mo Williams, even if he was healthy, taking over that point guard spot again. The only reason I think they would do that is if they wanted to build up his trade value.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to take over the starting role either. I think at this point they're just going to have LaVine continue to start until Rubio gets back, which is actually not too far away now.
And yeah, maybe three weeks.
Yeah.
But what happens with LaVine once Rubio's back? Because as soon as Rubio comes back, then Kevin Martin comes back. Like I'm looking at the situation right now, and I went out and I had Shabazz Muhammad in some leagues because we're hearing all these rumors about Corey Brewer potentially getting traded to the Rockets. And knowing the competition between the Dallas Mavericks and the Rockets and the fact that Dallas just made a trade, I feel like Morey's going to want to come back and make a trade right on top of that. So I went out and added Shabazz. But with that said, it was fine to take a flyer on Shabazz regardless, because he's been averaging like 22 points per game over the last week.
Yeah, he's been doing really good.
Granted, he only does two things.
But that rotation is going to get crowded again once Rubio and
Pekovic, Martin,
Kevin Martin, once those guys all come back, it is going to get crowded. The young guys are going to be pushed down the rotation. But that's okay, because some of the veterans will get traded at some point.
Yep. Ersan Ilyasova was out again Thursday. He's probably going to miss a few more games. John Henson did not play Thursday. Larry Sanders was suspended for Thursday's game after he shoved somebody when they were going up for a dunk in the previous game. Actually, he shoved Batum, and that's probably why Batum got hurt, which is just annoying. Just don't shove people when they're going to the basket. We all saw how bad Bogut got hurt when Amari made that idiot shove on him from behind. Omri Caspi, if you haven't seen that, go watch it. The video is just horrific. Bogut's elbow like went behind his back. Omri Caspi did not play Thursday. He's probably going to be out a little bit longer with a bone bruise in his knee. Reggie Evans was out Thursday against the Bucks. What do you see happening with this Sacramento team now that Ty Corbin took over? Is there anything that's going to change there? Like, will Derek Williams become fantasy relevant? Will they stop playing Jason Thompson because they actually want to get out and run and play smaller lineups? Ty Corbin's used big lineups in the first two games he's coached.
I think it's going to just be par for the course. It's going to be what we've seen so far. And the team was actually playing well before DeMarcus Cousins went out with that illness.
Oh, yeah.
So
they were 9-7 before he went out.
They go back to what they were rolling out there before DeMarcus Cousins was out, and they see how it goes. I don't think Corbin's going to be coaching the team for long.
Hopefully not.
I think they do hire. I think they hire someone like.
They better not hire Vinny Del Negro, though.
No, they should hire Mark Jackson.
I think the best hire would be to hire George Karl. But I also really want George Karl to wait until Monty Williams gets fired so he can take over Anthony Davis and Drew Holiday, because that would just be fun. Tony Parker will not play Friday against the Blazers, and neither will Kawhi Leonard. Is there anybody from the Spurs that we should use? I always have a tough time with this.
Well, Corey Joseph, you said no Tony Parker, so Corey Joseph's kind of the default guy there. He's at 4,700 right now on DraftKings. He's played over 30 minutes, 35, 32, 37, 38 minutes past four games. He had one big 38-point fantasy game, but otherwise he hovers right between 20 and 25 points. So, you know, the 38-point game, he took 14 shots, which is a lot of shots for him. He had four steals, which never happens. So that's kind of his ceiling. I do expect him to be more in that 20, 25-point range, which at $4,700, that's about right. I mean, it's an okay value, but I'm not a big fan. There, you know, you got guys like Danny Green who have been great this year.
He had a little foot injury after Wednesday's game. He was kind of limp into the back to the locker room, so he's somewhat questionable for Friday too.
I still worry about Danny Green, especially like he's ranked really absurdly high in season long rankings right now because of his percentages, three pointers, steals, blocks. Like, he's doing a little bit of everything.
Averaging a block per game as a guard is huge.
But like on DraftKings, he's only averaging 26 fantasy points per game, and he's $6,200. And really, the only, like, everybody will see, he scored 55 DraftKings points in the last game. But he played 52 minutes. It was a triple overtime game against Memphis, and he hit 7 3-pointers. Like, we've seen it. We saw it in the finals. Like, he has games like that, but they're few and far between. I mean, he doesn't do that every night. So, I mean, Danny Green's one of those guys who you'll see him ranked really high in your season-long fantasy league, but he's not necessarily as good in a format like DraftKings. And he'll have nights where he is, but at 6,200, he's at a price where I'm not really digging him as an option.
Jordan Hill did not practice Thursday, but remains probable to play against the Thunder on Friday. He was sidelined by an illness. Andrew Bogut underwent PRP, platelet-rich plasma therapy, on his right knee. He's going to be out several weeks. Festus Ezeli is going to continue to start at center while he's out, but Azili's getting about 19 minutes a game, so there's really not much to use there unless you're playing in a very deep league. If you're in like an 18-19 team league, you might be able to throw Ezeli into your lineups, but any standard leagues, you're not going to be able to take advantage of that. Maybe Maurice Spates has got some extended value, but then again, when David Lee returns, that's likely to dry up. With the Jordan Hill illness, would you consider using Boozer or anybody like that?
Yeah, and Boozer's actually been okay lately. So, I mean, Boozer would be an option. He's 5,800. The one thing is Oklahoma City has been good against opposing power forwards, one of the better teams. But Boozer's been good for over 30 points a game despite playing like 27, 28, he's 27, 28 minutes. He's been really good the past couple, basically since he got demoted.
Yeah. Once he got sent to the bench, he realized, oh, I should probably start rebounding. Paul Pierce was a partial participant in practice Thursday. He sat out there the Wizards' last game with a toe injury. He's considered questionable to play Friday. If Paul Pierce sat out Friday, would you go with maybe Rasul Butler?
Butler seems like the guy. I think it was Otto Porter who earned the start when Pierce sat out. But Butler came in off the bench, played 28 minutes, had 38 fantasy points, 23 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 threes. It was a good night for Rasul. I mean, 4 for 5 from downtown. I wouldn't expect that kind of production every night, but we saw it last week. I mean, like a week or two ago, he was on fire too. He had a couple, you know, 3 30-point games in a 4-game stretch. It's because he was draining threes. He was hitting, you know, 2, 3, 4 3-pointers a game. That's just the type of player he is. He's kind of similar to a guy like CJ Miles, where, like, you know, or we've talked about before, like those shooting guards, where Gary Neal, if they get hot, they can put up a nice fantasy point total for the night.
You know what? Like Rasul Butler, I would like more at 4,000 or so, but 4,700, I just feel like, nah, I'm good.
I need to find somebody in that price range for my final spot in the roster. I've been making some tweaks to my Friday night roster during our talks.
That's cool. Furkan Aldemir Furkan did not practice Thursday. He's unlikely to play Friday for the Sixers. Spencer Hawes is dealing with a bone bruise on his knee and is without a return timetable to return. George Hill's been out with a bone bruise for the last month and a half. So if that tells you anything about what to expect for Spencer Hawes going forward. All right. Is there anybody else we need to talk about for DraftKings, or did we kind of cover them all during the course of the injuries and whatnot?
Yeah, we covered a lot of it. I think, you know, one of the situations to watch heading into Friday's games, it's going to be Boston. The Boston-Minnesota game could have tons of crazy value from a DraftKings perspective. You know, Marcus Smart, if he plays, I like him a lot at 4,100. Evan Turner's probably the safest play.
Yep.
He's small forward, which I'm not a big fan of the small forward options right now. So to get a guy like Evan Turner at 4,600, I really like that price. Some of the other prices, it just doesn't work. Like LeBron James, 11,400. I'm not a big fan of that price. Kevin Durant would be good if he was healthy, but I mean, after last night's ankle injury, I'm just going to avoid him. I don't think he's going to play. Kawhi Leonard sitting, Batum's questionable. I really like Evan Turner at small forward spot for 4,600. Avery Bradley's another guy from Boston. Avery Bradley, I am not a big fan of Avery Bradley as a basketball player. He's good on the ball, perimeter defensive player, but he's a horrible shooter. I mean, he was 6 for 20 the other night against Philadelphia, 1 for 11 from downtown. He's just a chucker. But the thing is, he gets his minutes. He's going to get minutes. He'll get more minutes now without Rondo there.
I hate Avery Bradley.
Yeah. I get it. But at 4,400 and the fact that, like, he can go out there and put up 35 fantasy points.
He averages more turnovers than assists for his career, I believe. Like, and I don't even think that's hyperbole.
He's averaging 1 assist per game. Didn't they start the season with him last year as their starting point guard?
Yeah. That's hilarious. And he was averaging like 1 assist and 4 turnovers or something.
Amazing.
No, it was literally like he's averaging 4 assists and 4 turnovers. It's something just ridiculous. It lasted 4 games, and then they were like, all right, we got to figure something else out here. And then they started doing the whole Jordan Crawford thing. Where the hell is he playing these days? China? I think it's China.
I have no idea. So, I mean, any of those guys from Boston or Minnesota are interesting tonight because of the matchup. I mean, you could go like Olynyk still coming off the bench, but he's had a couple big games. He's a good option. Really anyone. Jeff Green. I would say
Jeff Green at 6,400. That sounds okay. I am a little bit worried about Jeff Green playing without Rondo, because I think I've seen some things about how he's better when he's playing with Rondo.
Jeff Green did fine last year, though.
He wasn't that good last year. He was pretty bootsy, actually.
It was damn close to what he's doing this year.
Yeah, I think he's had a couple bigger games this year.
No, he had a couple really big games last year, too.
2 years ago, I think he had big games. He was horrible last year. Because everybody, well, thing is though,
no,
last
everybody
year,
thought he
everybody,
was gonna,
yeah, everybody thought he was going to be like a top 25 guy.
All-star type player. He's Jeff Green. He's not going to be an all-star type player. All right. Yeah. So, yeah, we covered the Bulls. Brooks and Butler I like a lot more without, if Rose does sit. Paul Gasol, Thomas Robinson, hopefully we get some concrete word on whether or not he's starting again. If he starts, I like him. Love Westbrook against the Lakers tonight, more so if Durant sits. A couple of guys we haven't talked about. There's some mid-price flyer or fillers like Corey Brewer. He's part of that Boston-Minnesota game. Nerlens Noel, even though I said he's going to have foul trouble, it's a good matchup against Charlotte. I don't know that he's necessarily going to be matched up against Al Jefferson. He might be matched up against Zeller instead and playing power forward. Against a team like Charlotte, I could see them going with Sims and Nerlens as in the starting lineup.
I just don't think they're going back to Sims because of the Covington factor.
But can't you start Covington at small forward?
Well, they have been starting him at small forward, and they're starting Luke Richard up at power forward.
Yeah, okay. So this might be a game where they have a big lineup, though, and they start Nerlens and Sims.
The only reason I'm saying I don't think that'll happen is because Furkan's probably going to sit out, so that takes away another big for them rotation.
That Furkan guy.
Warning on when you're setting your DraftKings lineups today, Rajon Rondo is still listed on Boston. So
don't be fooled. Yeah, he's not.
Dallas is not playing today, so don't pick him. Okay? That's going to ruin so many people's nights.
Covington's another guy, another mid-priced filler that I like because he's just been so good.
Is he worth it at 5,800 still?
He's been so good. I have no other way to explain it. Like, I mean, if he's had this many good games in a row, then yeah, he is worth it to me. I mean, the past three games, 40 points, 40 points, 30 points. He was 5,700 the last game. He scored 30 fantasy points. 5,800, and he scored 30 fantasy points. That's good value.
He had 15. He took 16 and 15 shots the last two games, too.
Chucking from downtown. He has 29 three-point attempts in the last three games.
I do worry. I think he's going to have a little bit. He's going to get a fight out of MKG. MKG's really good at defense, so he's going to get a little bit of a fight there.
But if it's just a guy who chucks three-pointers all day long anyways.
Who, Covington?
Yeah.
He attacked the rack against Memphis, went to the free throw line 12 times. So
he did. He also shot 11 three-pointers.
Yeah.
I just think he's an option to consider there. Two centers that I really like are Valanciunas and Andre Drummond. They're playing each other. I'm trying to decide between those two and Olynyk on who I like. Olynyk's kind of the riskier play, but you know he's cheaper. Valanciunas and Drummond. The reason why I like these guys is because the Toronto Raptors and Detroit Pistons are both horrible against opposing centers. They're two of the worst teams, and they're both bottom five against centers, and they're playing each other. And they both have success against each other last year. I mean, Valanciunas and Drummond both averaged double-doubles against each other last year. Valanciunas against Detroit, 14, 10.7, 1.3 blocks per game in 27 minutes in three contests against Detroit last year. And Drummond against Toronto last year, 12 points, 14 rebounds, couple blocks, couple steals. So actually pretty similar to his normal stat line or what you would expect. But Toronto, I feel like, has been even worse against centers this year. So I do like both those guys.
What about Mason Plumlee at 6,100? Because Lopez is going to be out until at least Sunday.
Yeah.
So I like him there. He scored at least 35 points in the last four games.
He's been good. And Cleveland's been getting better against big men. They were really bad against big men earlier this year, but they're starting to play better against them. I do like Plumlee. I mean, you can't argue with the results. He's been good. 6,100 based on the results from the past four games is still a good value.
Yeah, 20 and 10 essentially the last two games. He had 21 points and 9 rebounds and then 23 points and 8 rebounds. So he's doing work.
It's to me... it's kind of a toss-up between him and Valanciunas. They're about the same price, $6,100, $6,200. I like the matchup better for Valanciunas. So that's why I might lean towards him.
And the other thing is, I think both Kevin Garnett and Mirza Teletovic will be back on the rotation for Friday's game. So then that's going to maybe take away a little bit of minutes from Plumlee.
I don't know. They all three played in a game earlier this week.
Yeah, but in that game, that was the first game back for Teletovic, so he just played 11 minutes off the bench.
But that's the thing about Teletovic, other than like one start where he went off, the 11 minutes or playing like 20 minutes off the bench is not weird. That's kind of par for the course for him this season. Everybody just sees that one game where he went off, and it's like, oh my God, this dude had 26 points and 15 rebounds. He is awesome. No, he's not awesome. He just had one really good game.
Fair enough. All right. I don't have any other guys to talk about. Do you have any other things we should jam on?
That's pretty much it. Yeah, I think centers are really interesting tonight. There's a lot of the top tier guys, Gasol, Jefferson, Drummond, DeAndre Jordan. They all have really good matchups. Pretty much all of them, you know, are facing the worst teams against centers. So it might be a scenario where you stack centers tonight. You go with the center and utility spot, pick a couple high-priced guys. We just went over a couple other discounted centers. There's a lot of good options and combinations to use tonight.
Kenneth Fareed returned to the starting lineup in his last game with the Nuggets. Would you consider using him at power forward for 5,300 against the Clippers? He had a 11-point, 11-rebound double-double in their last game against Houston, but I do believe the game went to overtime.
Well, you know, they've been...
You can just say no, dude. It's the Nuggets. You can't predict the rotation.
I can't trust what he's going to do. I can't trust the minutes. He's 5,300 is the point where it's like, all right, do I want to risk it and pick him? I would rather go with Nerlens there because Nerlens is 5,200. And the reason why Nerlens is better, like he just coming off like a 40-point fantasy game, is because he gets defensive stats. So Nerlens might have 9 and 10 and similar stats in other areas to Fareed, but Fareed doesn't get any defensive stats. And Nerlens gets an extra 12 points in 12 fantasy points just from his defensive stats for that game. So that's why I would go with a guy like Nerlens. I think he's got the higher ceiling, higher floor. And Nerlens' only problem for Friday night is I do think that fouls could become an issue.
Shabazz Muhammad at 4,500. We didn't really talk about him earlier. Is he in consideration for you?
Yeah, that's a pretty good price for him. Like you'd mentioned earlier, he's been performing well. 40 fantasy points, 32 fantasy points in the past two games. Every time he gets in, like even though he plays under 30 minutes most games, he'll lead that team in shot attempts.
And he's not shooting poorly. He's been shooting very well. He's shooting over 50% recently.
Yeah. So when he gets in there, his job is to chuck.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he gets in and he starts chucking. He's going to put up 13, 14 attempts almost every single game. If he plays 25 minutes, he's probably going to have 15 shots.
Tight money. All right. Anything else?
No. Good luck tonight.
Yeah. Good luck, dogs. All right. Thank you for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast brought to you by DraftKings.com, the leader in daily fantasy sports. Use promo code Kyle when making your first deposit on DraftKings to receive a free contest entry today. I'm Kyle McEwen. You can find me on Twitter at RotoWireKyleNBA. And this is
Shannon McEwen. I am on Twitter at RotoShannon.
Thanks for listening to the podcast, guys. Have a great day. We love you. Boy, boy, boy.
Haven't seen y'all in 3 summers. Got my license back, so let's catch wreck like airbags. My shirt still fit, but goddamn it, my pants at brown bag gone, but we still up in the lab, man. Science plus the math, keep the duckets on the up and up. Spend enough days fucking up drunk. If that's what you wanna do, then it's all you, son. Remember, it's on you at the end of the day, son. Grab yourself a roses at the end of your parade, son. I'm saying, son, keep your head up and breathe some for your dreams, son. One reason, do the knowledge for yours. The pigs is kicking in doors. You heard this from
from the bay to the Michigan shores. Of course, from the Green Mile to Parthenon doors. I'm banging in the trunk, rattle tires and floors. I'm having a wonderful day. Now how's yours?
How are you?
How are you?
And you? And you?
How are you?
And you?
And you?
How are you?
And you?
And you?
How are you?
And you?
And you?
How are you?
And you?
And you?
How are you?
And you?
And you?
How are you?
And you?
And you?
How are you?
And you?
And you?
It's been a cold winter, I'm a known sinner. I was born a blizzard, I know how to enter the world. Exit the womb, give me room before you meet my member. Get dismembered, my soul is Commodore. Calming down, I'm no pretender. I'm all kinds of raw, flame on, hot sizzle. Summer's just beginning, I admit it. We've been gone a minute, but this your golden ticket. Get it for a minute, take a listen. Can we kick it? Yes, we can, let's lift it then. Auto, had to withstand bad times like kickstands. Bury friends and family, no time to mourn in Michigan. There's business at hand, you ain't heard. I'm moving these words, my product's in demand. Highly at that rhyme of my life, mix it with facts, I got plans. Poet, man, MC, make moves, plant seeds. Failing's not falling, I'm flying without wings. I'm trying to show the bigger picture through my small deeds. Life's a little hectic for me, but how you been? How are things?
How are you?
And you?
And you?
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 And you?